Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 3. Word for word, Kasmin, in which yuge period Pravrita was begun. Iyam this stani in the place, va or kena on what? Etuna grang kutaha, where from? Panchodita, inspired by. Krishna, Krishna dvaipyana vyas, kritavan, compiled, samhitam, Vedic literature, muni, the learned. Kasmin yuge praviteyam,
stani
va kene hetuna, Kuta Sanchodita
Krishna,
Kritavan Samitam Muni, Kasmin Yuge Pravriteyam, Staneva Kena Hetuna, Kuta Sanchodita
Krishna.
Kritavan Samitam Muni. Kasmin Yuge Pravriteyam. Saneva Kena Hetuna. Kuta Sanchodita Krishna. Kritavan Samitam Muni. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In what period and at what place was this force begun? And why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? Purport. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the special contribution of Srila Vyasadeva, there are so many inquiries by the learned Shaunaka Muni. It was known to him that Srila Vyasadeva had already explained the text of the Vedas in various ways up to the Mahabharata for the understanding of less intelligent women, sudras, and fallen members of the family of twice-born men. Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all of them because it has nothing to do with anything mundane. So the inquiries are very intelligent and relevant. Om Gyanate Manasya Gananjana Shalakaya Satchin Tanayana Tasmai Sri Guru Vedanaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Daradi Saparantitam. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati. Gopesha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Namaste. Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pananami Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The purport seems short, but somewhat controversial. Anyhow, so we're here setting the scene for Srila Vyasadeva to speak Bhagavatam. He has already written the Vedas. He's divided the Vedas into four. He has compiled the Puranas, the Mahabharata, and he's still dissatisfied. So the scene is set for Srila Vyasadeva to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. What is important to note, though, that the sages are questioned the time and the place. They say, at what period and at what place was this verse begun? So every age, they have what you call a sandhya and sandhasya. The sandhya is the beginning of the age, is called like the dawn. Just like a day has dawned, the early morning, that's the sandhya. Sandhasya is the evening or the dusk. See? So at the dusk of Dwarpa Yuga, this scene was set. For so many things to take place. Not only was Vyasadeva born, but we know the whole Mahabharata and everything would be taking place then. It's also sometimes when time is being calculated, these periods are called transitional, where the age of strength is moving from one period to the next. See? So the end of Dwarpa Yuga in this Sandhyasya, Srila Vyasadeva will take part. And we know his father was Parashara Muni. Parashara was a great exalted sage. And it's too loud. And Parashara Muni was requested by Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Brahma to bring forth Srila Vyasadeva into this world. See? So Parashara Muni went to the fisherman's hut, Dusaraj. Dusaraj was the fisherman. But we can probably go back a little above when Satyavati was born. Satyavati was a heavenly damsel. She was a heavenly damsel, and she was forced to take birth on earth. But we can see that this is all destiny for Vyasadeva to take birth. So what happened is, the king was called Upacharita Vasu. He's a very famous king, Upacharita Vasu. And it stated he went on a hunting mission. And what happened is, during the night, he was thinking about his wife. And he passed semen. But knowing that semen are not supposed to be wasted, he collected in a little container And it seemed like he had a trained eagle. So he sent this seaman with the eagle to his wife. I mean, this story may seem so far out. But while the eagle soared in the air to take this container, another eagle attacked it. And when the other eagle attacked it, the seaman fell into the sea, the river. And it stated that the fish swallowed it. The fish swallowed it, and Satyavati was born. Satyavati and a brother, two of them. So this Dusaraj was a fisherman, and he caught the fish, and when he caught its belly, he found two kids. Two beautiful kids. And so he took them to the king. Upacharita Vasu gave, he kept the boy, and he named him Matsya because he was born from a fish, and he would establish the Matsya dynasty. And Satyavati, she was smelling like the fish, real heavy. And so he gave the fisherman Satyavati. Satyavati was called Matsya Ganda, means she smells like a fish. Or sometimes Yojana Ganda, she smells like a fish for miles. Or she was also called Kali Ganda, because she was very dark, but she was extremely beautiful. See, she was beautiful. And so what happened, but what is interesting, it's nice to see how Lord Krishna arrangement is working. And I mean, we know Vyasadev is an incarnation of the Lord himself. See, so what happened is, and Parashar Muni, he was an old sage. It wasn't like he was a young man. And not only that, he was limping. Because he stated he was attacked one time and something happened to one of his legs. So imagine this old man limping. And Harivamsa, some version stated that he stayed at night by Dusaraj, the fisherman. And another version said that he wanted to cross over the Yamuna. So as he asked the fisherman to cross him over. The fisherman's daughter used to do that job, Satyavati. So the Dusaraj asked Satyavati to take him over to the ocean, the river, the Yamuna River. But as arranged by destiny, this old Parashara Muni, when he saw Satyavati, but it has to do also, you know, he probably knew the whole situation. He knew that her time of conception was there. And she was, because she was extremely beautiful, he says, I like to copulate with you. This old sage. Satyavati was a little astonished, but she says, the river is, this is daytime and people would see us. What Parashara did, he created a great mist, like a great cloud. But she said that I'm smelling like a fish. Why would you want to stay with me, copulate with me? And Parashara said, no problem. And he turned her body into fragrant perfume. I mean, she started to smell like beautiful. See? Like, and she would smell so nice for miles also. You see? But then she said, so, you know, she was talkative, it stated here. She was quite talkative. You know, she's scared, she's ready to go, but she's scared, she's ready, you know. So she said, but I've never married. I mean, this is embarrassing here. How, you know, what people would say. So Parashara said, no problem with that too. You would remain a virgin after conceiving a child. So then it's stated on that island, in the middle of the Yamuna, parasha are populated with Satyavati, and Vyasadeva was born. Parashara left immediately. You know, this is destiny. And Vyasadeva grew up immediately. He was, as soon as he was conceived, he was born and he grew up immediately. And he said, Mata, whenever you need of me, just think about me. And he left also. See? And so that's how the great sage Vyasadeva. And this is the incarnation of Krishna, but such mystical and magical way for this to happen. See? So then the great sage Vyasadeva, you know, he's the 17th incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And because he is an incarnation, he could see the anomalies of Kali Yuga. He could see how the age would deteriorate and what would take place. So he decided that he would divide the Vedas into four for simplicity and for understanding of the Kali Chela. And then he also wrote the Puranas for people in the three modes of nature. And then he wrote the Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice born, it stated. Sometimes you say Dvija Bandhu, friends of the... But another place it stated that they were fallen twice born. Like, for example, if a Kshatriya marries a Brahmana, woman or man, whatever, then they become outcasts. They're not considered twice born anymore. The twice born were the Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, and the Vaishyas. The Sudra was one born, but the three were twice born. But when there's intermixture of caste, then you got what you call a fallen caste, fallen Varna. See, and that was not really allowed. So they were considered outcasts to some degree. So Vyasadeva wrote the thing for women, for sudras, and for them. The purport Srila Prabhupada says, what he says here, unintelligent women. But maybe I'll touch upon that really, because really it was not so. When the conversation between Maharaj Yudhisthira and Bhishma, when they were speaking about Dharma, this question was brought up, Bhishma says that Brahma was asked, well, why is this? But he says no. He said in the previous yuga, women were extremely intelligent, but they were following their husbands so nicely that when they die, they all go to the higher realm. And the demigods complain about this because everyone is going to the higher realm and no one is staying on earth, you see? So Lord Brahma devised a plan now to make women not so intelligent in this kalpa. So that's how that came about. And not only that, it stated that they made her lustful. They stated that a woman is nine times lustier than a, you know, all this was arranged for this kalpa. But this was not so. But maybe it has something to do with spirituality, because sometimes, you know, when I see my daughter and my son, I always think my daughter is more intelligent than them. And she is, you know. So, but it has, I think that maybe it has something more subtle within it and the nature of their composition, I guess, you know. It's not, because also in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that they have wisdom. I forgot how the words go, but they're eloquent speakers, fine speech, great wisdom, and so forth. So, you know, this is one, we could say, a controversial topic in the Bhagavad Gita. but no one should take it to heart, because Lord Brahma was getting a little hard on the ladies. You see, but anyhow, coming back to the point, we're in Srila Vyasadeva, and he had already written these literatures, and he gave them to his disciples. It stated that Paravara Gyanasa Rishi Kalena Vyakta Rama Hasa Yuga Dharma Vyakti Karam Praptam Bhuvi Yuga Yugi. The great sage Vyasadeva saw the anomalies in the duties of the age. This happens on earth in different ages due to the unseen force of time. Tatrag Veda Dhara Paila Samago Jaimini Kavi Vaishampayana Evaiko Nishnato Yajusham Uta. After the Vedas were divided into four, Paila Rishi became professor of the Rig Veda, Jaimini the professor of the Sama Veda, and Vaishampayana alone became glorified by the Yajur Vedas. Samantu Muni Angira was entrusted with the Atar Vedas, and Rupa Harshana was entrusted with the Puranas. Out of compassion, he compiled the Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice born. Evam Pravritasya Sada Bhutanam Shreyasi Dvija. O twice born Brahmanas, still his mind was not satisfied, although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of all people. So Vyasadeva thought he was doing a great service to humanity. And so he compiled all these literatures, divided the four Vedas, the Puranas, there are 18 Puranas. Well, we should take out the Bhagavad Purana, but that's 17 Puranas. Then the Mahabharata, and there might be other literatures too. So he did all of this, but then he was dissatisfied. And so as he was in deep contemplation, in deep thought, his spiritual master arrived. It stated when the student is ready, the master arrives. And so Guruji Narad reaches there. And then Narad starts to speak. This is interesting. He said, are you satisfied with identifying the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? You have elaborately explained the Mahabharata with all kinds of Vedic sequences. You have fully explained impersonal Brahman. So why are you dissatisfied, my disciple? You have explained all these literatures in details. So why is it you're so dissatisfied? And then Vyasadeva totally agreed, and there's a list of verses there that's very, very nice. Actually, we should study those verses and memorize them. See? So then Narad said, Na tata vasudevasya mahimahi anuvarnitaha. Although you have broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narad hit the nail on the head there. The four forms of religion, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, dharma, which is religiosity, and moksha, liberation. These were the practice within the Varnashram system. But Narad says that even this would not make you satisfied, that you have to glorify the Supreme Lord. Because constitutionally, we are all created to be associates or servants of the Supreme Lord in whatever capacity we are in. The jivas, all the jivas, the 8,400,000 species, they're all meant to serve the Supreme Lord. We're all servants of the Lord. We cannot escape that. Whatever body we're in, that's our constitutional position. But Narada is saying, but you, Vyas, now has allowed these humans to identify with the body and the senses. And because of this, there's a verse that stated that one would always like to take the easy path, right? One would always like to take the easy path out. And so when Vyasadev gave these choices, then people would take the easy choices, you see? Rather than fully surrender to the Supreme Lord, they would want to do this economic development, sense gratification, a little religiosity like that, and then hope for liberation. That's they want to take that path. But really, our path should be Javira Swayuk Surupa Hoy Krishnirian Yadas. That we should be an eternal associate or constantly serving the Supreme Lord. This is our path. And to develop this type of faith, you have to glorify the Supreme Lord to do this. And there are some beautiful verses. Maybe can you go to chapter 5, Prabhuji? It should be in chapter 5. I'll give you the numbers just now. Let me see what it states. We could all look at them together. Text 10. Chapter 5, text 10. Should we recite it together in the Sanskrit? The Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, 5, text 10. Nayad vachas chitra para harir yasho jagat pavritram pragrinita karhisi tad vyasayam vyasam tirtam ushanti manasa nayatra hamsa nirmanti ushikshayaha. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. See, that's one. We go to the next one. We'll just do the English. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution and the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. Your form and vow are situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from the material bondage. Whatever you desire to describe that is separate in vision from the Lord simply reacts with different forms, names, and results to agitate the mind as the wind agitates a boat which has no resting place. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable, because they are guided under your instructions. They will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, only a very expert personality, retired from the activities of material happiness, deserves to understand the knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who are not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the ways of transcendental realization by your goodness, through descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So we could see that this is the platform for Vyasadeva to stand on. This is the springboard for him to jump into the Bhagavatam. And so Srila Vyasadeva, he was helped by his spiritual master. See, because Narad Muni explained to him exactly his problem, his fault. And so he would relate the Bhagavatam. It's stated that his son Sukadev Goswami, he had heard the Bhagavatam from his father, and then he would speak it to Maharaj Parikshit. It's stated that the place that Sukadev spoke Bhagavatam is still existing there. It's called Shukratal. Shukratal, it's on the bank of the Ganges, between Delhi and Kurukshetra. See? And that place is there. It's under a very tall Akshay Vriksha tree. This tree is about 150 feet tall, and it's still existing there today, where Sukadev spoke Bhagavatam. It's 5,100 years old. Imagine that. So Sukadev spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to the 1,000 sages, and it stated it was on a hill. So sometimes we're wondering how they might be able to hear. Maybe Sukadev was on top there, and the sages were like a little lower down. And they listen, and as he was speaking, the voice might be going like that, and they were, you know, whatever. You know, like when you're in mountains and hilly regions, the voice reverberates, is it like that? So something like that. So that's how Srimad Bhagavatam came into place. It's called Amala Puran, you see. It's the transcendental book. Free from these cheating literatures, as you would say, like the other literatures, cheating religious scriptures. See, that propagate sense gratification, economic development, religiosity, and so forth. And it encourages pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. So I will stop here. If there's any comment or question, or chastisement, you're free to do so. Okay. Haribol Mataji.
Regarding the statement that women are less intelligent, this was addressed by Srila Prabhupada. One of his daughters asked him once, does that mean because I'm a woman, I'm less intelligent? He says, if you think you're a woman, you're less intelligent. If you identify with that body. And of course, he said, any lady who takes up Krishna consciousness is sumedashaha, very intelligent.
Right. That,
so it, it separates her from the mass of, if that is the case even. But everyone in this age of Kali is born sudra.
Sudra. Very good, very good. Actually, thank you so much. Actually, I was thinking that I would leave that up for the ladies to say what they're thinking, and you have clarified everything so nicely there.
You know? Where did you get this story about Lord Brahma creating in this kalpa,
This is the discussion between Yudhisthira and...
In the Mahabharata?
Yeah, Yudhisthira and Lord Bhishma Dev, you know? That is the it's explained there because Yudhisthira was wondering, well, what is happening here? Why is this so? And then Bhishma. But Bhishma was also an exalted devotee. He's Mahajan, you know. I mean, it's not like we take his knowledge lightly, you know. We say, oh, it's, you know, Bhishma really, but he's Mahajan, you know. So it's very thing. All Parashara is exalted sage too. He was the son of Vasishtha Muni. You know, he was just not any ordinary person, you know. Great personalities. Any other point? Yeah. Prabhu, Yamaraj, Prabhuji.
Thank you for your class. I remember a while back I read a newsletter Ratnaswami put out. And he was saying, based on his experience, that women who enter into Krishna consciousness are more serious than men. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I mean, they're much sharper. You see, they're more dedicated to serve the deities. You hardly see the men doing anything on the deities, really. It's most of the ladies dressing and everything. So this is the point to get up. Some of we guys have to get more. The ladies, they're more enthused in doing all these things, deity service, so many things, cooking. See? Yeah, but yeah, good point. Yes, Prabhu?
Just trying to get it straight. The person who saved his semen and then it was swallowed by the fish, who was that?
Well, you mean who was
Satyavati's father, I guess it would be?
His name was Upacharita Vasu. He was the emperor of the world and also Bharatvarsha. And he's been spoken of elaborately in different places in the Mahabharata. When the topic of Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg were discussed, he was included within that conversation. And on the topic of meat eating also, he was not favorable. When some of the sages or some of the demigods were in favor of meat eating and sacrifice, the sages were not, but Vasu was also not in favor of meat eating, you know. But all that is explained within the topic of Pravritti Marg, Pravritti and Nivritti Marg. He was a famous personality. It's stated also, if you see the Indians, they have flags up their yard when they do jandi and sacrifice. It was started with Vasu. It stated that Indra gave Vasu a pole, a long bamboo pole, and when he did a sacrifice, he put that pole in the yard, and he said from then on, humanity would follow this principle. If you're preaching, you know one way when we used to preach in Guyana, one way of knowing who is Hindus and who is Christians, we see the pole. We see that pole, and the Hindus usually do their sacrifice, so we know. So if you want to sell books or pictures to them, you go there, because you know that they're, because that pole is there, they're doing jagyas and stuff like that. See? Yeah. That's Prabhuji? Okay. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.